Now shall we turn, please, to the 7th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 7, verse 1. John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see thy works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him, for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, now this was an 8-day feast, so you can work that out. About the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine own, is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But though he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him, do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these, which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, Out of his belly, out of his inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. Some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto him, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? Then they answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And if they only knew their Bibles, in 2 Kings chapter 14:25, there was a prophet that came out of Galilee. But they said, Search and see, no prophet comes out of Galilee. 53, verse 53, And every man went unto his own house, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. May God bless his own word. Blessed God, we thank thee for this precious, wonderful book, the Bible. We'll never cease to praise thee, Lord, that thou hast given us thine own words in our own mother tongue, in our hands to read. And we thank thee, Lord, that the entrance of thy word giveth light. We ask that this morning the Holy Spirit might take the words of the book of the Bible and apply them to every heart. We ask, Lord, that there might be fruit in each of our lives. And if there should be one who knows thee not as Savior, for thou knowest every heart and we don't, we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit might work the great work of salvation in that heart this morning for thy glory. Help us to magnify thy Son. We ask it in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, for those of you that are visiting here, I have been speaking from time to time when I speak here Sunday morning on John's Gospel. And here we are in the 7th chapter. So we've been speaking a long time, but we don't speak very often. We're in the 7th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, we tried to divide the Gospel of John up under certain headings. The first 18 verses of the first chapter is the prologue to the Gospel. And then starting with the 19th verse of the first chapter onward, we've seen a division. Now, this is not original. I got this from a great student of the Word of God, and I love it, and I think it's probably the best way, as I see it, of dividing up the Gospel of John. When I was teaching John's Gospel at Southeastern Bible College, this is the way we did it. There are certain periods. We talked about a period of consideration. That's to say, from the 19th verse of the first chapter through to the end of the 4th chapter, the Word of God is made flesh and dwells among us. The Son of God is here in our midst. And men are considering him. They're not fighting him. They're not quarreling with him. They're not arguing with him. They're considering him. You think of the first, you know the Bible, you know John's Gospel, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4. They're considering the Son of God. A period of consideration. And then when you get to the 5th chapter, it says after these things. After this. Now we're entering a new period. And we call it the period of controversy. Men are now beginning to argue with the Son of God. He went to Jerusalem and he performed a wonderful miracle. We referred to it when we were reading just now. He healed the impotent man on the Sabbath day, and that started all the trouble because he did it on the Sabbath day, and the controversy started. And so we went on through chapters 5 and 6, where they're arguing with the Son of God. There are 7 miracles in John's Gospel, and 3 of them are in this period of controversy. The healing of the impotent man, the feeding of 5,000, and the walking on the water. All 3 are in that period. When we get to the end of the 6th chapter, and we start the 7th, it says, after these things. All right, then we're starting a new period, after these things. And we're calling this the period of conflict. So we had consideration, controversy, conflict. And then later on, but this goes on a long way. This is the longest of these periods. It runs right on to the 52nd verse of the 11th chapter. And then we get into a period of crisis. So, we're now starting a period of conflict. And I'm trying to cover a lot of ground, otherwise we're going to have our conference. It'll be next summer before we pick up the threads and go on again, if the Lord tarry all that time. So we try and cover this chapter today, the period of conflict starting with the 7th chapter. This is characterized, this period, by the term keeps coming up, they sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. In the first verse it says, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, that's in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. So, the period of conflict is starting. They want to kill him. We shall see in our chapter. They sent men to arrest him and bring him, but they couldn't do it because his hour was not come. So in this period then, the tension is getting greater and they're seeking to kill the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Now, Galilee, as you all know, sometimes we have a map here when we're talking about these things. Galilee was up in the north. Judea was down in the south of the land of Israel. Judea was the capital. Jerusalem was in Judea. And that was the capital where the temple was and all the center of the Jewish religion and all the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these leaders of religion. They were more or less concentrated down there in Jerusalem, in Judea. And the Lord had gone there on several occasions, as we have seen. In fact, as he had to go. Every Jew had to go 3 times a year to the feast, you know, if he's going to keep the law. And I'm sure the Lord never broke any of that. So he was in Jerusalem, but he got back to Judea. But now he's going to leave Judea. And he's going to leave Judea for the last time. 6 months from now, he's going to be crucified. He knows, they don't. And so he's going to leave Judea. And he stayed for a while. He didn't go. He kept away from Judea. He's going to leave Galilee and go to Judea. And you won't find him back in Galilee again in John's Gospel, except after the resurrection. He doesn't get back to Galilee. He's going to be down in and around Jerusalem, except there comes a time when in the period of crisis where it gets so severe, he withdraws over the River Jordan, over into the coast of Perea there, where John was first baptizing, to get away from them. So the setting here then, the beginning of the chapter, the Lord is still in Galilee, and the Feast of Tabernacles, the last of the great feasts, the yearly feasts, 7 feasts of Jehovah, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be like the Harvest Festival, a great feast at Jerusalem. And that was one of the 3 feasts to which all Jewish males had to go by law. They had to go up to Jerusalem at that time. They used to build booths out of the palm branches and so on all around the city. They were living there for the 8 days of the feast. And then there was a final day called the last great day of the feast. If I had time, I'd like to tell you how I attended once a Jewish Feast of Tabernacles when I was serving with the British Royal Air Force, and we had 1,000 Palestinians in the great camp where I was in Egypt, and they invited me to their Feast of Tabernacles. Very fascinating, very interesting, but I haven't time. The Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. When we read, if Leviticus 23, and three times during our conference periods here, and we've had conferences here now for 6 years, three times we've had a whole week on the Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23. Wonderful, wonderful ministry from Leviticus 23. But do you know what the feasts are called there? The Feast of Jehovah. The Feast of Tabernacles was called the Feast, one of the seven Feasts of Jehovah. What's it called here? Look at it. The Feast of the Jews was here. The feast. You see how the thing has dropped. It was called the Feast of Jehovah, but now it's called the Feast of the Jews. Jehovah was hardly mentioned in it. It now had become a ritual, and the Jews in their religion, they went to the feast. And so his brethren said to him, "Depart hence and go to Judea." They said, "No man doeth these things in secret and doesn't want to be known." They were saying to him, "Now, make an exhibition." How men love to be known, eh? How men love to have their name in the newspapers. Personally, I hate to see my name in a newspaper, and I found whenever it is, they don't put the facts of the thing at all. It's usually wrong. But they said, "Get your name in the newspaper. Go up to Jerusalem and do the miracles up there and let all the world wonder." That's not what the Lord was going to do at all. The Lord came here in humility and grace and meekness. He came to do the Father's will. And he said, "I'm not going yet to Jerusalem. My time is not yet come." Later down in the chapter, it says his hour was not yet come. I see a significance here. His hour was not come and his time was not come. His time was not. That's to say, the time for him to go up to Jerusalem had not yet come. Later, when they were going to arrest him, they couldn't arrest him because his hour had not come. And when it says his hour, it's referring, of course, to his suffering at Jerusalem and his crucifixion. You remember in the garden, he said, "Father, save me from this hour." You remember in the 17th chapter of John, when he prayed that wonderful prayer, he said, "Father, the hour has come." The hour for his suffering. The hour for Calvary. But here he says, "My time is not yet come." What he meant to say was, God, because he never made a move without the Father's will. The Father has not yet indicated to me to go up to Jerusalem. Of course he'd go, because all Jews had to go. But the Father has not yet indicated to me, my time has not yet come. "You go up to Jerusalem." And they went. And he stayed still in Galilee. And up there in Jerusalem, the people were all bewildered. They sought him. They said, "Is he not coming? Where is he?" There was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He's a good man." Others said, "Nay, he deceiveth the people." Howbeit, no man spake openly for fear of the Jews. Up there at Jerusalem, they were searching for him. They knew he must come. All Jews went there. Where is he? And he was staying still in Galilee a few days. It's amazing to me that his brethren left him. In the previous chapter, Peter had made that wonderful statement. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what Peter said. But his brethren, it says, neither did his brethren believe in him. They who had seen his spotless life in the home, they who knew him and had played with him as a boy, knew all about his wonderful, sinless life, they did not believe in him, his brethren. Peter did, a rough fisherman. God revealed to Peter this was the Son of God. He said, "We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." But the brethren did not. And up at Jerusalem they were asking, "Where is he?" Verse 14, about the midst of the feast, 7-day feast, 8-day feast, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine own, but his that sent me. If any man will to do his will, he should know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." How we'd like to rush through John's Gospel as we've got to. You can't go into all the detail, but wonderful words we have. "If any man will to do his will, he shall know." he shall know. How many people there are in the world today that say, I don't know. I can't understand it. I tell you what, there's got to be a moment when we yield our will to God's will. We think of the enigmas of life and the problems of life and we don't know. We would know if our lives were governed by the will of God. If any man will to do his will, he should know. Let's search our hearts, beloved. For you and I here at Park of the Palms and you that are visiting us, are we seeking to live in the will of God? Every day, every step, wherever we go, what we do, if any man will to do his will, then we'll know the will of God. I believe there should be dedication and rededication of our lives to the Lord Jesus. We're saved once. Once we're saved, we have eternal life. We shall never perish. We shall be in heaven because we trusted the Lord Jesus and appropriated to ourselves that wonderful work and sacrifice of His at the place called Calvary, and we're saved and got eternal life. That's true. But I believe that to be called to the mission field, and some of our friends are here this morning, there has to be some moment in our lives when we yielded ourselves to do His will. I fought that for many years. I was afraid. If I said, Lord, here I am, take me unreservedly and do with me what you like, I thought you'd send me to China. And I never wanted to go to China, you know. He didn't do it. The Lord sent me to Greece, and I had 10 wonderful, wonderful years in Athens, Greece. And out there in the Middle East, in Israel and Egypt and so on. 14 years we were out there. I believe every day in the will of God, because He sent us. If any man wills to do His will, you know, let's dedicate ourselves that we might here in Park of the Palms or somewhere else do His will. I find in my own personal life, God, He takes me to a place, and I wouldn't go unless I was sure He took me. I don't make moves unless He's, for the last 50 years, I won't go unless I'm sure that's God's will. I was sure that God brought me to Park of the Palms. But I noticed in my life, the other night, God does this. Suddenly He says, you dwelt long enough in this mountain, get up and go somewhere else. And that door closes, and a new door, a new chapter, I'm on a chapter, a new book opens. Usually we go to another land, changed all around, but in His will. And I often wonder sometimes if God's going to pick me up and say, that's enough of Park of the Palms, here's another job for you. If He does, and it's His will, we'll be off, because we always move when He tells us. The Lord Jesus went to Jerusalem when God told Him. And He said, this is how I work, this is how you work. If any man wills to do my will, you know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Now let's go on down a little bit. Verse 20, now we have his public appearance in the temple, and then we have the response of the people. Verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. They said, he's a lunatic. That's what they said. That was their way of saying, he's a lunatic. Don't listen to him. The response of the people, he's a lunatic. He has a devil. Verse 25. Some said unto them, some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? So some said he's a devil, some said let's kill him, get rid of him. Though he standeth boldly and they say nothing unto him, do the rulers know that this is the very Christ? Go down a little further. And the Pharisees said, let's arrest him. They sought to take him. Verse 30, no man laid hands upon him because his hour was not yet come. That great, wonderful hour. Father, the hour is come. It's not yet come. They couldn't touch him. Even when they did go to arrest him in the garden, he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he replied in that wonderful, wonderful title of Jehovah. He said, I am. Notice in your Bible, it doesn't say I am He. The He is not there. It's in italic. He said, I am. That was the title of God Himself, the way He revealed Himself to Moses. I am. And when He said, I am, it says they all went backward and fell to the ground. You can't come face to face with Jehovah God. That's who he was. And try and arrest him, and he reveals and says, I am. Well, they fell down like dead men on the ground. They couldn't have arrested him. But the Lord said, you let my disciples go, and here am I, take me. He yielded himself to them. His hour was not come, they couldn't arrest him until the time came. So some said he's a devil, some said let's arrest him. And then look a little further down, it says that some believed on him. I wonder now, we're hurrying here because of the clock, but I wonder, let's pause a moment. The response of the people as they listen to the Son of God. This morning we all have to respond, you know. Every one of us has to make a response. And I don't know your heart, you don't know mine. It's so easy, like these Jews at Jerusalem, to be wrapped up in a religion. It's so easy to be a church member. It's so easy to be in God's service, like all these Jews were. But they were clean outside of the whole thing. When God himself, in the person of his Son, came, they didn't know him and they arrested him. And so they all had their opinions about the Son of God. What's your opinion of the Son of God this morning? You think he was a lunatic? I don't think you think that. You think he was a wonderful example for men? So he was. You think he was a great prophet? So he was. But I tell you what, he's the Savior of the world. I wonder if we all this morning have accepted him personally as our own personal Savior. What do I think of the Son of God? He's my Savior. Paul said, he loved me and gave himself for me. That's the Lord. He loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that this morning? Some believed on him. Thank God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the secret. He that believeth on the Son. Let's hurry along. Let's go to verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, when I went to that feast of tabernacles in Egypt, they invited me on the eighth day of the feast. I said, that's the last great day of the feast. And this young Jewish corporal, he said to me, how do you know? I said, it's written in the books, you know. And I read the book that you read. And they invited me. We had a wonderful, wonderful time with these Jews at the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day of the feast, the great day of rejoicing. And on the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You see, at the Feast of Tabernacles, some call it the Feast of Water, because every day they went down, the priests went down to the Pool of Siloam, and in a golden pitcher, they brought water from the Pool of Siloam, and they poured it out as a libation before God in the temple, the Feast of Water. And so that day they'd gone down and brought up this water and poured it out. Water, and the Lord saw the water being poured out. Listen to what he says. If any man thirst, you want water? You want water? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his very inner being shall flow rivers of water. Oh, beloved, where are we today? Our lives ought to be just like this. We drank of the great life-giving stream from the Son of God, the water of life. And our lives should be flowing out of our very innermost being. There should be rivers of living water to a thirsty world around us. May God help us in the campaign that lies ahead. To contact men, to touch men, to do something for men. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, and we don't know where that scripture is, by the way, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of himself, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. You see, they that believe on him should receive. Let's get back to the question of the Spirit. It's been brought up many times, and the men had a good discussion on it yesterday. I only just popped in for a few minutes. I hadn't time. I was too busy. But we receive the Spirit of God when we're saved. You know? This is not a second blessing. I believe there's a thing called dedication that I spoke of before, when we yield our lives to God. But when we're saved, that's when we receive the Spirit of God. And it says in verse 39, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." They received it at Pentecost. We received the Spirit. They received him, the Spirit, at Pentecost. We received the Spirit of God the moment we're saved. That's one of the great things that happened to us. Some nights here, for the last few months, we've been speaking, whenever I speak in the evening, on the great things that happened to me when I was saved. So far, we've had 12 talks on what happened when God saved us. Wonderful things happened. And this is one of the things. I received the Spirit of God that moment. I didn't learn these things till years after, but that's what happened, that wonderful moment when God saved me. He gave me the Spirit of God. They that believe on should receive. And this is what he's talking about, rivers of living water. We have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit of God should be flowing out in acts and deeds and ways and words to win men and women to Christ. Rivers of living water. He said the Holy Spirit they've not received because he's not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's right. He went back to the glory, and then the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. I heard a man say, and I've said this here before, there are three movements in the Acts of the Apostles, you know. In the first chapter, the Lord went up. He ascended up to heaven. The second chapter, the Holy Spirit came down. And the eighth chapter, the Apostles went out. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Up, the Lord went up. The Holy Spirit came down, and they received power, rivers of living water in them, to go out and tell a thirsty world. Verse 40. Let's look at the results of his talk here. What happened? Many of the people, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, "This is the prophet." Well, the prophet is the one that Moses had spoken about in Deuteronomy. "A prophet shall the Lord God of your fathers raise up unto you like unto me." That's the prophet, the Messiah. Some said that's who he is. Others said, "This is the Christ." Same thing. Some said, "Should Christ come out of Galilee?" Well, they didn't know. He came out of Bethlehem. They didn't know. They said, "That's not the scripture said. He comes from the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. That's where he came from." But they didn't know that. They were quoting the scripture, and it was true. And some believed, and some didn't. Verse 43, a tremendous verse comes twice in John's gospel. Listen. "So there was a division among the people because of him." This division obtains today. It exists today throughout the world. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." There's a division among the people because of him. You sit in a bus, and people are all around you. There's a division. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." You travel in an aeroplane. Everyone in that aeroplane that believes in the Lord Jesus is saved and has eternal life. And the ones that have not trusted him and received him are lost, and they're on the way to hell. There's a division among the people because of him. I wonder if it obtains here this morning. I wonder if there's someone here who's not accepted Christ yet, and there's a division in this chapel this morning. They that believe and they that believe not. Here was the opinion of the people, and there was a division among the people because of them, him. And some of them would have taken him. You see, this is the period of conflict. They're going to arrest him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. They couldn't. Then came the officers to the chief priest. They sent these officers to arrest him. They came back and said, the priest said, "Why have we not brought him?" They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." They went to arrest him. And they listened to his words. And they said, "How could we arrest him? He's saying the most wonderful things. Nobody ever spoke like this. We can't arrest him." Never a man spake like this man. And then they asked the question, "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him?" And Nicodemus, being one of them. Nicodemus, wherever you get Nicodemus mentioned, it says he came to Jesus by night. And only three times he's mentioned, 3rd chapter, 7th chapter, and 19th chapter of John. He came to Jesus by night, and Nicodemus, a weak disciple, I believe a disciple. He said, "Doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" And they answered to him and said, "Art thou a Galilean? Search and see, for no prophet cometh out of Galilee." Nicodemus, in a weak way, testified that he really was born again that wonderful night when he came to the Lord Jesus, when the Lord said he must be born again. Later on in the ninth chapter, 19, he came out boldly and did what nobody else did. When disciples and all that loved him forsook him and fled, Nicodemus begged the body of Jesus and buried him. So there was a division, there was hostility, there was an exhibition of weak faith by Nicodemus, but decisions had to be made, opinions had to be cast. What think ye of Jesus? There he was at that great last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and people were making up their mind and forming their opinions. We come to the close of our meeting, you have to make up your mind. Is he your Lord and Savior? Have you yielded your life to him? Are you still halting between two opinions and say, "Nobody ever spoke like he did, wonderful, but I haven't yet received him as my Savior"? You can do it now. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for these somewhat rambling studies in thy wonderful word. We thank thee for this chapter. We thank thee for thy beloved Son. We think of thee looking down from heaven on him, Lord. Never even, although he must go to the feast, yet not going to do one of the things that must be done, not taking one step to leave Galilee to go to Judea until thou shouldst stay. Help us to walk this way, Lord, only to do the things in the time, at the appointed time that thou hast planned according to thy will for our lives. He left Galilee never to go back again. Men in Galilee lost their chance. He said, "Oh, Capernaum, if the mighty deeds that have been done in thee had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have been repented long ago. But you've lost your chance. Help us, Lord, in the little bit of life that remains to some of us here, not to lose our chance, but to do something for thee. O Lord, that the Holy Spirit that's in us might flow out like rivers of water to thirsty men around. We thank thee for our meeting together, and we seek thy parting blessing, and ask there might be some eternal fruit for thy glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Thank you.